Well, I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that can come and anoint His Word, which is what I hope and pray that He will do this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3 and look at the first and second verses. You know, a lot of people do things today and they say that they're doing it to raise awareness. This cause and that organization, and I've thought about the message today like this. May the Lord so bless His Word today to raise our awareness of something really wonderful that we have given to us by God. He says here, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Just want to stop right there. I believe He's wanting to raise awareness of the special gift, the wonderful privilege, the price that was paid so that we could be called the sons of God. Behold what manner of love. We know that the Lord so loved that He gave His only begotten Son. So that is the manner of love. It was a very sacrificial love. So He's telling us here, look and consider, stop and look upon with spend some time meditating on what kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, there's a verse that I read, and I'm not quite remembering where it was, but it said that they would be called sons who had not been called sons. We, at one time, were children of the wicked one. And we know that we were all created by God and sons by creation. But to really be called sons of God by the new birth, there was a time that we were not called sons of God. But now, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And not just sons of God, but I like to think I'm a daughter of God. It says in verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." I just want us to begin with that thought. Behold what kind of love it's been that the Father hath given unto us, hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I think of how that God created Adam, and Adam was His son by creation. And He wanted to walk with Adam as Adam's father. He wanted Adam to trust in Him for everything. He had given everything to Adam, everything that man needed to not only sustain his life, but for him to enjoy. He had given it to Adam. Everything that Adam could ever want or need, God had given it to Adam. He did not need to lack. The enemy made Eve feel like that there was a lack. But was there a lack? There was no lack. There was nothing that God withheld from man that was needful and necessary and good for him. The enemy came and told Eve that there was something that God had withheld from her that was good, that she should have, and that she was lacking in something that God had. But in reality, God never withheld anything that they really needed that was for their good. He was their father. They were His children. He wanted them to trust Him as children. That any time they had need, to just come to Him and say, "I need to understand this. What do you want me to do here? I have this need. Will you help me with this? Because I can't do this. And he wanted them to just trust him as children. We had this spring, we went to Alabama, and a brother there gave a lesson to us in a little time of devotion that we had during the day. And he had, how was it? He gave us an illustration where he told three little boys that he had, what was it? Some money? Something for them. And he had given it to this person over here and this person over there, this person over here. And he said, you've got to go find it. And the little boys were totally clueless. But what he wanted them to do was come to him and ask him. So one little boy just went out and started asking all kinds. He started trying to figure out what. Another little boy came to the brother that had told him what to do, and he said, what do I do? Where do I go? And he said, you go to Brother Barry, and you say to him, can I have, am I telling this story right? Help me with this. Anyway, but what he wanted him to say, he said, now say this. He said, I can't do it. I can't find it. You know where it is, or you can. Please help me. And so he had the little boys say that to him. And then he told them what to do. And to me, it was just a very simple and enlightening expression, illustration of what God wants to be to every one of us and how we spin our wheels so many times. And the relationship and the privilege is right there. And if we would take advantage of the privilege as children to come to the Father and say, I can't do this. You can. Please help me. And then he would give us the help. That was what he did for Adam. He wanted Adam to trust him and help and ask him for everything. And Satan was the one that came and sowed seeds of doubt in the providence of the Heavenly Father that would forever be the source of man's separation from his Father. That doubt, that wonderment, are you really being good to me? Can I really trust you? Are you withholding something from me? And if I trust in you, will I enjoy the things that I should enjoy? And man ever after that began seeking for knowledge and wisdom and pleasure outside of the Father. And that's what's wrong with the whole world. They will not put their lives into the Father's hands and say, I can't, you can, please help me. People don't do that. And if they do ask for the Father's help, many times it's in desperation after they have tried everything else. And it is what I just said. It's a trial. They try God. They have quite a bit of doubt still if he'll help them, if this thing will even work or not. I've tried so many things. I'm going to try this, but I have my doubts about this. This is how many people approach God. This scripture that we started with said, you need to look at the kind of love that the Father has for you, for him to call you his son. And I want to just go into some things that opened up to me this week, or last week, I think it was. When David was getting ready to die, God spoke to him, and he told him something about the next king. And he told him who was to be. David had a lot of sons. He had a firstborn son. The proper thing usually to do was to give the kingdom to the firstborn son. But God didn't choose the firstborn son. He didn't choose the next son. He didn't choose the next son. He had 6 sons, I think, and then maybe a couple more. There may have been 8 sons before the one that God chose. But anyway, 1 Chronicles 28. David assembled all of the princes to give them God's message about who he had chosen to be the king after him. David was getting ready to die. Verse 5, David said, "And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." The kingdom of the Lord over Israel. "And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." That, I don't think that had ever just hit me before. The relationship, the special calling that God gave to Solomon. He spoke to David and said, "Solomon, I want him to be in this kind of a relationship with me. I want to be his father, and I want him to be my son." Do we realize this morning what God was really saying when he said this? There was something very special, a very close walk that he had in mind for Solomon. And at the very first, we see that Solomon really did live in that relationship. Now let's see what God did. Turn now to 1 Kings chapter 3. And verse 3. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" Now, as I read this verse about God saying, "I have chosen Solomon to be my son, and I will be a father to him," the Lord connected it with this special thing that he gave to Solomon. In a dream, he came to Solomon. He said, "Ask what I shall give thee." This was part of that special relationship that he had called Solomon to. As him being a father to Solomon, it was the same thing that he had instituted in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve, all they had to do was ask God for anything. He didn't want them to do anything on their own, as far as trying to get their own wisdom, their own knowledge, everything. He wanted them to trust in him as a little child trusts in the father, and to come to him for everything. He wanted to walk closely with them. They forfeited that. He asked Solomon, "I want you to be my son. I have chosen you to be my son. I want to be your father." And so he came to Solomon and he said, "Ask of me anything. Ask what I will give thee." Solomon said, now he loved God. I believe he had taken it into his heart, "I'm God's child. I'm going to trust in him even more than I did David, my father. I'm going to walk close to God." I believe Solomon, at the very first, he had that in his heart and his mind. It shows it by what he told God when God said, "Ask of me anything. Ask what I will give you." And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. You see the relationship that God called Solomon to, and the special privilege that he gave Solomon. Ask anything, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon, responding with the same relationship, I'm just a child, and I don't know anything. So he said, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which is thou hast chosen. A great people cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. If thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And look what God did in chapter 4 and verse 29. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country. Now let's remember that. If you find some kind of ancient book of some kind of prophet from the Buddhist or the whatever religions over in the East, and you start reading in that and you think, wow, this is just really good. This teaches people how to be kind, and this teaches society how to live a perfect society, and this teaches a person how not to worry and how to meditate and all this kind of stuff. You remember that God gave something better than that. He gave it to Solomon. He gave it to his son. And I have something else to tell you, that he's called us to be his sons. And if we lack anything, we can go to the Father and ask him, and he will give us wisdom that exceeds anything that you could ever read. He's able and willing to give us the way that we should live, just like he did Solomon. Solomon's wisdom exceeded all the wisdom of the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt, where he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. I don't know who these men were, but they were very famous for their wisdom, and his fame was in all nations round about. So the Lord gave Solomon what he asked. He was pleased with what Solomon had asked. He had told him, I'm going to be a father to you, and you'll be my son. Ask what you will. And I'm paraphrasing it, but I believe this is what God said. Ask what you will, and it will be done. There is another man that asked of the Lord, and God was pleased with his asking as well. Let's see if I can find this. Well, I'll have to find it here. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, in verse 9, it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow." Now that's kind of a paradox. He was more honorable, and yet he had much hardship in his birth. There's something about that makes you wonder what really went on there. But anyway, he was more honorable than his brethren. But he was born with much sorrow and his name meant sorrowful. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. I thought about that. What kind of sorrow was there in this man's life? Was he born with handicap? It could be. It could be that Jabez was born with illness or with handicap, and he felt the need of calling on God. That's really what happens many times in our lives. God permits things in our lives where we begin to feel in need and in want of God. And in that need and that want, we come to him with just the attitude that he wants from his children. "I can't do this. Oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would enlarge me. Oh, that you would keep me from evil." He felt the need. It seems like that he's picked out here from many, many people around him as a person who felt the need of calling on God for everything. I'm just thinking here, God is showing something through his word, what he wants from us. Now I want to take you somewhere else now. Another illustration of a father and son. In the book of Luke, chapter 15, we have a father and two sons mentioned here. Jesus told this. Jesus was telling this, I believe, for the first reason was to illustrate what happened to the Gentiles and the Jews. He said a certain man, verse 11, had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." The father did it. As a father, he gave his son an inheritance. He didn't withhold the inheritance from him. The man asked for his inheritance. Father gave it to him. This son squandered it. This son wasted it with riotous living. And he went out, and we know the story. He began to be in want. He began to have to do a horrible thing down in the swine fields. And he decided to come home, and he decided that he had forfeited all right to be a son, so he decided to come home and be a servant. He decided it would be worth more and better for him. He could at least eat, and he could see his father, but he wouldn't be a son anymore. He knew he had totally forfeited his rights as a son. And so he came back, and he came and he said, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." Now this is like every one of us. Every one of us have done just this. We have gone out and we have forfeited our rights to be a son. And yet the Bible says, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Why? Because we've all forfeited. We have forfeited our rights to be a son. But we've come back to the Lord, And we've all said, I just want to serve you. And what does the Father say to us? You come on in here. I'm going to give you a place at my table. You're my son. You've been lost and you've been dead. And you're alive. And you're my son. You just come right on in here. He just put his robe right back on him. He put his insignia back on him. Said, this man belongs to this family. And he put shoes on his feet and he gave him a big feast. He just blessed this younger son. Well, we have the picture here of the older son being very angry at what happened. Now, I don't know just why he got so angry. I remember feeling some of these feelings one time when my brother had gotten saved, and I had been saved a long time. And it just seemed like that everything had to revolve around the one that had gotten saved. And I remember coming to my mom and dad and saying, you know, I'm feeling kind of looked over, kind of like, what is all the fuss about? You know, I remember doing that, and I remember being reproved for it. Just like this older son. He came and he said, in verse 29, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, and that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, and this is what came to my mind when I was considering this about Solomon and what the Lord had told Solomon, you just ask what I shall give thee. And this came to my mind so strongly, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. This is really what the Lord has called us to. As sons and daughters of God, He has called us to a place of never lacking and never wanting, because all that the Father has is ours. All we have to do when we have lack and need is to come to Him as a child comes to the Father. Depend on Him. He truly is the source. He has all the help, all the answers. He has all the wisdom. He has all the food. He has our clothing. He has everything. And He says, all that I have is yours, and you're ever with me. I'm going to leave that right there and just think about some of these things that the Lord has told us now as His sons. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew, Jesus began to teach His disciples about prayer. And the first thing that He begins to do is to introduce them to their God as not only just Almighty God, but what? The Father, their Heavenly Father. And the Scriptures bear out that the Jews had not called God. They had not looked to God as their Father. There was a relationship there that they did not have with God. But when Jesus came, Jesus began to bring men to the relationship that He had with the Father. And I want to look into this just a little bit. He began to introduce them in the Sermon on the Mount to God in heaven as being their Heavenly Father. This was a very strange concept to them, but He began to put it in here. Let's see, where's the first place that we find it? In verse 9 of Matthew 5, it talks about being the children of God. Let's see, go on down. Verse 45, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Verse 1 of chapter 6, your Father, which is in heaven. Verse 4, thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Verse 6, pray to your Father, which is in secret. Verse 8, your Father knows what you have need of before you ask Him. You see how He is guiding them? into an awareness of just what, who is the Lord? He is my Father? My Father? Then go on down, and after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Now this word, our Father, it's a sharing word. It is God opening up a relationship and Jesus explaining it was his Father now, but he was also sharing him with us. So as Jesus was saying it, our Father, my Father and your Father, I'm giving this relationship the same relationship that I've had with the Father, you can have. Now that means something. The same relationship that Jesus had with the Father, we can have? How can that be? We have been in sin. We are human. How can we be in the same? How can we ask and get results like Jesus did? Is this true? And you read it over and over and over in Jesus' teachings that what he had with the Father, let's read it. Let's read some of these things. Because we need to get a hold of it and believe it. This is what we've been given by the Lord Jesus. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What is it? How? What kind of relationship is this? What are our privileges? What are the commands given to us? What are the ranges? What are the limits? What are the boundaries? Are there any? What's the example given to us that we can look at and say, okay, so that's how it is? Jesus gave it to us right here. He said, our Father, my Father and your Father. And when you pray, think it like that. My Father and Jesus' Father. I can ask just as freely as Jesus did. If God would answer Jesus' prayers, he'll answer my prayers. Because he has given us the same relationship. Now, we must be in the same, we must have the same heart toward the Father as Jesus did. Surely, of course we must. So we need to find out what is that? What kind of a heart is that toward God? He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Which art in heaven implies a belief that you are, that never backs away from that belief. I know that you are. There is something that sometimes comes and clouds the mind when you begin praying like, God's not there. God's not listening. God's not hearing. God's not seeing. God doesn't care. God doesn't love. That is from the enemy, because Jesus said, our Father which art in heaven. His faith, his belief always took in that my Father is. You are. In heaven. That means you're above all. There's nothing over you. You're the highest. I can go to you. Your word is law. You're the king. You're in heaven. I'm on the earth. I'm under you. I'm in subjection to you. You're the authority. That's what we can know as we come. Our Father which art in heaven. You're in heaven. You rule. You reign. You're on the throne constantly. There is nothing can dethrone you. You are in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. This prepares the heart as we come before him. He wanted us to come and prepare our hearts for asking. Before we can ask as a child of God, our hearts must be prepared, else we were asked wrongly. He doesn't want us to ask amiss. As his children, he wants us to ask of him. But he doesn't want us to ask amiss. So we need to be aware. And this is what I see in this scripture, is that as we come before him as the Heavenly Father, first we prepare our hearts to believe on him, that he is, that he loves, that he sees, that he knows, that he is the authority, that he is above all, that we are in subjection to him, and that his name is hallowed. Lord, and now Abraham had a wonderful relationship with the Father, and as he asked him for Sodom, He asked so humbly. He said, "Oh, one more time, I will take it upon me to ask you." See how humble his attitude was. It wasn't like, "Now, since you and I have a relationship, I think you ought to..." No, he didn't do that. Abraham still asked very humbly, "This one more time. Pardon me if I'm overstepping, but I'm going to ask you again. If there's 40 in Sodom, would you spare it?" The Lord said, "I'll spare it for 40. Granted. Then he came and back again and he said, "One more time, I'm going to take it upon me to speak unto the Most High." See the humility that he had. It's right here. "Hallowed be thy name. Lord, you are in heaven, and you are my Father, but you are the authority, and I fear to displease you, and I want to please you with what I come to you for. And if you see that it's not what I should have, then I'm in total subjection to you. Lord, you know what is best. You see and understand and know my life. You know what I don't know. You know the future. I don't know the future. I'm going to ask you for some things, but in asking, I'm very ignorant about how to ask. So, Lord, hallowed be your name, because you know, you alone know what is best for me. I reserve to you the power and the glory in what I'm asking for you, from you. If it's not time for me, Lord, you know all about it. You know what's going on. Lord, I come to you today hallowing your blessed and holy name." You see, this is preparing the heart for asking. So he said, and then he said, "Thy kingdom come." Again, preparing the heart for asking according to God's will. "Lord, I want your kingdom before anything. I want whatever advances and increases your kingdom. And what I want to ask of you, if it doesn't do that, if it's not to the glory of your kingdom, and to the advancement of your kingdom, then I don't want it." These are the things that prepare our hearts for asking of the Father. "Thy kingdom come. Lord, I want your kingdom in my heart. I want you to rule everything in my heart. I want you to rule all of my will. I want you to rule my emotions and my feelings. I want you to rule my flesh. And Lord, I want my fleshly desires to be in subjection to you completely. And if I'm going to ask anything, I want it to be according to your wishes as a king." And then he says, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You know, when we begin to ask, and I want to give you this little secret in prayer. There is something about this manner of prayer that Jesus gave us, that if you have problems in prayer, with your mind wandering, and I have them, this is what helps me every single time. I come back to this manner of praying, and I begin to pray in this way, and it defeats my own mind. It defeats the enemy. Somehow, I guess it's just because I begin to pray as Jesus prayed. And you know that when Jesus prayed, God paid attention, and God began to pray. It began to mean more than a monologue, but it became a dialogue. And that's what prayer should be. Prayer should be where God is beginning to speak as well as you. And the two of you are having conversations. That's when it becomes relevant. That's when it becomes real. It's because you're praying and you're praying your heart and God is sharing his heart and you're having heart-to-heart talk with God. And I find that when I really bog down, and I've bogged down plenty, and I have fought and fought and fought, sometimes for a half an hour, sometimes for more than that, fought to pray, tried to pray. And every silly thought in the entire world, it seemed, would come to my mind. And sometimes I will stop and say, "Where in the world did that one come from? I wasn't even thinking of that name. I wasn't even thinking of that thing. It just thoughts." But the Lord has a way to focus us. This focuses me every time. Begin to ask in this way. Meditate on these things. Come and pray according to this manner. "Thy kingdom come. you begin to pray for souls, first of all. I mean, you just begin to pray for God's kingdom. And Lord, begin to take your mind. Lord, who should I pray for today for your kingdom's sake? And the Lord begin to direct your mind. You begin to realize, you know what? I have a part in the kingdom of God, in the work of God in the earth. And that's a very fulfilling, it's a very fulfilling knowledge to know that my little prayers are helping in the kingdom. Yes, I'm just right here and I'm just a little person, but I have a little spot, a little responsibility. I'm going to be faithful here. Whatever the Lord brings to my mind to pray for. And sometimes the Lord, He may bring you somebody clear across the globe, a name or person, or you maybe begin to feel a concern for a particular country or for the leaders of a nation or whatever. And you know what? That's the Lord leading your prayer. The Lord working at the same time that He's burdening you to pray, He's working on that end. And sometimes the Lord will allow us to hear and to know what happened on the other end. And you'll think, oh, that's what I was praying about. So that's the reason why the Lord had me to pray. Oh my, I want to be more faithful. When the Lord brings someone to my mind to pray, pray, because it's kingdom work going on. That's a wonderful thing to realize that you're involved in the work of the kingdom. That's the Father's business, isn't it? Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. What is the Father's business? It's the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's souls. It's souls being born into His kingdom. It's the work of God in the earth. It's righteousness and peace and joy in the heart of every person. That's what the kingdom of God is. So we pray that Thy kingdom come. Righteousness, peace, joy. Now we can pray for those things for our very own hearts, because that's the kingdom. So we have all the right in the world, and we have been given the privilege to pray, Lord, your righteousness and your peace and your joy, I want that in my heart and in other people's hearts. Anyway, I didn't really intend to go this far with this scripture. I hope this is a blessing, because this is key to a prayer life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I could spend a lot of time there, but we've already kind of touched all around that. And then, after thy name, thy kingdom, and thy will, after those things, then give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. You see the progression in prayer here? We must prepare our hearts for asking. Only when we have prepared our hearts and we're fully into the business of doing His will and fulfilling our part in the kingdom, that's when the Lord can inspire us to ask according to His will. And we can know, 1 John chapter 4, is it? Let's read this one now. In connection with Matthew 5. This is how we can apply this properly. 1 John chapter 5 it is. And verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, I can think a lot of things that are according to God's will. Can you think of some? It is not His will that what? Any should perish. So, you can ask for your own salvation and know that it's God's will. Done. That one you need not worry about. It is God's will. So you can ask, if you ask anything according to His will. Now, this is the will of God, even your, what? Sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. This is, God's will for us to be holy. That's what He's saying there. That we should live a holy life. So, you and I can ask for holiness in our heart and our life and know that it's God's will. Lord, I want holiness, I want purity, I want to be able to stand and abstain from all kinds of sin and evil. When Jabez prayed that way back in the Old Testament, the Lord granted him his request. When Solomon said, I want to know how to discern between good and evil, God granted him his request. As sons of God, we can ask anything according to his will. Salvation and holiness are according to his will. We can ask for those things and know God's going to grant me my request because this is his will. These things have been so much a blessing to me because there is such a... The enemy wants to bring you doubts in prayer. And we need to know, I am asking according to God's will. And the scripture says that this is the confidence that I can have, that I do have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. Now take this and say this in prayer to God. Lord, you said, and this is a confidence that I have in you, as your daughter, as your son, that if I ask according to your will, you hear us. And it goes farther than that. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. That's why he said now in chapter 7 of Matthew and verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. And if you look this up in the Greek, it says, keep on asking. Because why? There will be some delays. He didn't just say it'll be given to you immediately. But as children, we have to learn patience. He also says be patient and the trying of your faith works patience. So we must know that our faith will be tried. But he says here, keep on asking and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking and ye shall find. And keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that keeps on asking shall receive it. And he that keeps on seeking, I'm putting this in here because this is really what it means. He that, and to him that keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? He said to Solomon, I want to be your father, and I want you to be my son. Ask what I will give you. This is what he's given. This is a privilege. I really believe that this is what God's called us to, an experience just as precious as Solomon's. It's just as fragile. I'm telling you, it's just as fragile because Solomon had an opportunity that was like no other. But so have we been given an opportunity, just like Solomon. And he told Solomon, didn't we read that? Let me just go back to that just a little bit. Second Chronicles, let's see. First Chronicles 28. Thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and the understandings and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. The relationship was blessed that he was being called to as son to the Father. Anything that he would need, he could have, but it was conditional. If you seek him, he will be found of you. If we quit seeking, if we begin walking on our own, look what we forfeit. We forfeit this precious relationship of a child and a father. Do you know what it really means to walk out on our own? It means we are defenseless against all of our enemies. But he told Solomon, you asked for discernment and you asked for understanding. I am going to give it to you, and I'm going to give you rest from your enemies. We have everything that Solomon had. Everything that the Lord has is ours. Now, I want to look at something else. James chapter 1. What am I going to read to you? If any man, what does he say here? If any of you lack wisdom. This is just so wonderful. We're just like Solomon. We've been given the same privilege. We've been called the sons of God. God is our Father. Everything that He has is ours. Jesus has said, you call Him Father. He knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. But you've got to ask. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Even though He knows what you need. He knows what you need. And this has been something that I've come to the Lord with many times and said, Lord, you know I need this. You know I need this wisdom. So I'm counting on you to give me the wisdom for this situation. And the Lord has never failed. Now, the Lord many times gives wisdom through experience. And many times experience is when we've gone through failure and times where we didn't use wisdom. We found the hard way. The Lord doesn't just dump us wisdom without experience. So the experiences of life are God's answers to us many times, and they're not easy. But if we would come to the Lord, if we could just sit down with Him and say, I ask you for wisdom, and look what I'm going through. I believe the Lord would kind of reach over and kind of pat you a little bit and say, son, daughter, I am giving you what you've asked for. I'm giving it to you this way. This is how you can learn and profit from it best. I can't just dump it on you. I want you to go through this process. What did the scripture say about the Lord Jesus? He learned obedience through the things which He suffered. And so I'm saying to the Lord, oh, I want to obey you in everything. And the Lord says, okay. And He gives us something to endure. And He gives us a hard place. And we're saying, take it away. And the Lord said, you asked me to obey you. And now you're saying, take away the thing that's going to teach you obedience. I think sometimes the Lord, just the same way we get tickled at the little children, the funny things that they ask and the what things they want to do, and we know it wouldn't be good to let them do that, and we just kind of tassel their head and say, you just do what Mommy says and you will be happy, okay? And we say that to our children, and we know that they don't know. The Lord knows that we don't know. And that's why we need to just keep, Lord, you know the things that I have need of before I ask you. He says here, James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, oh, praise God. Have you ever come to the Lord with a lack and truly felt the Lord really, really making you feel bad for your lack? Now, people will do that. People will do that, but the Lord will never do that. The Lord just, instead, you may meet with a little bit of how shall we say this? Remember how the woman came with a daughter that was sick? And she met with just a little bit of a difficulty before she really got her request. The Lord may test us. He may see, how earnest are you? You come and ask me for wisdom? It seems like I'm ignoring you. Maybe you come and ask for wisdom again. And it seems like the earth again met with a shut door. Jesus said, keep on asking, keep on seeking, and you keep on knocking. So the Lord tests us sometimes to see how earnest we are. And it says here, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. I don't think he would have said this if there weren't opportunities and obstacles that might cause us to waver. So remember, we're going to ask. There's going to be some obstacles. We'll be tempted to waver. But he said, he'll give you liberally, and he won't upbraid you for your lack, but ask in faith. Ask in faith. What is faith? Faith is dependence, belief in, and dependence on God. That's what faith is. It is relying on Him and trusting in Him when you don't see a result of your prayers. Your faith is evidence that He has heard your prayers. Now, I want to get just a little bit more. I believe there's something in John 17. There are several things in the book of John I want to get. So let's go there. John 17. I told you that we have the same privilege of sons as Jesus was given. John 17. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 14, I have given them thy word. The world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now you can quote this one to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Jesus said, it's His will that I get to be in heaven. And I'm counting on that. I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. You see, verse 26, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the relationship. He is giving us the relationship that he had with his Father. He said it so many times. Now let's look at John 16. Verse 24, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. What he's saying here is, you have direct access to the Father. You don't have to, well, we do come through Him, but He's saying here, I'm actually giving you the relationship with my Father that I have. I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father Himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. It is through Christ, and yet it is directly to the Father. Chapter 14, verse 13, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, remember what we have said, that He has given us a relationship that He had. Therefore, we must ask the kind of things that he asked. If we're asking like Jesus asked, we can be assured of answers. Chapter 15, here it is again. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So here again is the relationship must be the same as it was with him and his father. Then we can have the asking, the privilege of asking. Well, I believe that's all for today. I'm so thankful that we have, I'll have to go into that another time. I'm thinking about the inheritance. We have inherited all things. Let me just read that one more scripture and I'll close. Revelations 21 and 7. Have you ever heard a verse from the Bible and it just go all through you? This happened to me with this verse when I was a little child. I still remember who said the verse. I don't remember what instance it was. I think it was at a time where people were saying Bible verses in Bible verse time. But somebody said this verse, and it went all through me. And I've always loved this verse. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Another one that's like that is, he said, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God.